You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Close that door and lock it. Let's get locked in on the birds. Louis DiBiase.
Lars Lewis.
What's up, Lars?
Hey.
You haven't been on the show in quite some time.
Oh, yeah. It's been a long hiatus.
But we're glad to have you back in perfect timing with the Eagles in the playoffs.
Playoffs!
Which last time, every time we were on the show, it just felt like I was trying to convince you that this team still had a chance.
Whoa.
I'm not saying.
I was the one convincing you.
I
was the one that never lost faith.
I'm well known to be one of the optimists this year in Eagles media. I shouldn't say that you weren't, but I feel like it was more when we were doing the show, we were trying to almost convince ourselves that this team was still partially that 2017 Eagles team that shocked the world.
It was a rather ominous cloud that was hovering over both of us
when they
were against the ropes.
Like 4-6 after they lost to the Saints. That was really, and it wasn't just that, it was because then they won those two games against the Giants and the Redskins, but then that Cowboys loss was a dagger too. You listen to that podcast that I soloed on that Sunday night right after the game. My boy Rasul Douglas tips the ball up in the air. Amari Cooper falls right gloriously into his chest, and they win the game. If you listen to that, I thought the season was over because there was no way I thought a wild card berth was possible, considering the Panthers looked really good for the majority of the first half of the season, and the Vikings had a tiebreaker over us. So both teams had head-to-head matchups. And then Carolina loses, what, 7 straight? Kirk Cousins chokes like me and you have been calling since, what, July, that he was not the answer to bring them from the NFC title game to the Super Bowl. But regardless, the Eagles are in. We have everything covered for you on LockedOnEagles.com. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify. We're basically everywhere. If you want to listen to the podcast, we are up and available. Lars, I looked at the spread. The Eagles are the biggest underdogs this week.
What else?
Right on schedule. But I'm kind of, I don't know if I should be surprised that they're the biggest underdogs this week, because I feel like there's some really good matchups in wild. This is one of the best wild card weekends we've had in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a game you're thinking that the Eagles maybe they should not be the biggest underdog this week by what? They're a 6-point dog right now?
Well, let's break down some of the games that we have over wild card weekends,
so
see some of the matchups, and see if we could find a game.
So first
that
game is
one
Houston.
Team could be a bigger dog than the other.
First game's Houston Indy. That's a split.
Too even.
The second game is Dallas Seattle.
Too even.
And then the third game before ours on Sunday at 4 is Ravens Chargers. And the Ravens beat the Chargers, but I feel like LA is still the favorite. So, I mean, I get it. It's just
you know
then
why they're the favorite? Because they're playing on the road.
Right. I get it though. It's just the Eagles, it's not like the Eagles-Bears game. Like, all of these games are close. The Eagles-Bears is going to be as close as the other ones. I'm just surprised that it's 6 points. It's really interesting. This matchup's going to be fascinating because it's two very similar teams when you look at it, right? Both guys from Andy Reid's coaching tree are now head coaching these teams with Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy in Chicago.
There might be one glaring difference
What's
that I can tell you. I think the run game for Chicago is a lot better than Philadelphia's.
I think so, but I think the Chicago team is very similar to last year's Eagles team, where they have a second-year quarterback they invested a top pick in. It was kind of an unexpected jump because we were talking about it when they added Khalil Mack. We were thinking, man, they added Allen Robinson. We think Cohen and Howard are going to take another step this year. Going to be a great 1-2 punch at running back.
Not to mention Taylor Gabriel as well.
Troops should be better under Matt Nagy than he was with John Fox. This Bears team's going to be a problem in maybe 2 to 3 years. It didn't, like the Eagles last year, and it was not expected, the Eagles going 13-3 last year. I had them at 9-7 in my early, before the season predictions in the summer of 2017. So the Bears also made that unexpected jump. It's super interesting, this dynamic, that they're so similar with how they built these teams. They took that big step when they finally added an offensive mind around their young quarterback. They gave him weapons with Allen Robinson, and like we said, they brought in Mr. Philly special, Trey Burton, and they had that 1-2 punch at running back.
Boy, he had a good second half.
And Matt Nagy himself is a weapon for Mitch Trubisky. So then that's what happened with Carson Wentz. You see, I mean, Doug Peterson started with Wentz, whereas Trubisky had to go through a year with John Fox. But still, they both had that offensive mind, and then Wentz took that second step in his second year when they brought in Alshon Jeffrey. Nelson Aguilar took that next step. They brought in LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi. And you saw it. And it's super cool because, like, it's almost like we're playing the Eagles of last year to a lesser degree, though, because I think we can get to Mitch Trubisky. Trubisky could cost the Bears far more than I think Carson Wentz in the playoffs last year would have, because Trubisky is not what Wentz was last year. Wentz was the runner-up for MVP. Trubisky is not at that level
yet. And then it happened in L.A.
Right, and then, yeah, don't, ow, my heart, thanks for bringing that up. But, yeah, I think Chicago is going to be a problem for the NFL for years to come, but I'm banking on, and look, the Eagles didn't have playoff experience last year either, but they do this year, and they're red hot.
5 out of 6.
They've won 5 of 6, and honestly, if it wasn't for a terrible call on the first play of the game against Dallas, they should have won 6 straight, which is unreal. Like I said, it would have been hard to justify the Bears sitting their starters and then suddenly San Fran comes back on the Rams and the Bears could have had the 2 seed. It would have been a bad look. But because they kept their starters in and beat Kirk Cousins, their prize for getting the Eagles in the playoffs is that they have to play the Eagles. And I don't know about you, man, but I would much rather play Kirk Cousins at home in Soldier Field compared to Nick Foles.
I think it would have felt a personal satisfaction in keeping Minnesota out.
I think so, too, because they were a division rival. But it's just super. It's a super cool dynamic.
You don't want to play around with letting a team in, and then you got to play them again the next week. You're kind of flirting with fire there. And I feel like, I actually looked up, you get a statistically worse odds playing a team for a third time and playing them on back-to-back weeks than you would playing a team for the very first time.
Just look at the Eagles in 2009 when they lost to the Cowboys week 17. It was winner takes the NFC East. The Eagles lost that game. They had to go to Dallas again the following week and play the Cowboys in the wild card round, and they got spanked. So, yeah, you're right. That's an interesting point. But it's cool because the Bears remind me so much of last year's Eagles team. But again, it's with one caveat that I think Trubisky is going to be something that maybe holds back the Bears this week. If the Eagles, if guys like Rasul Douglas continue to get turnovers on the ball, they have a +2 turnover differential since they went on this run compared to what it was before Lars, which was a -9.
Yeah.
They're finding ways to turn over the football. They're giving Nick Foles and this offense great field position. Both lines are playing really good. I cannot wait. The matchup, I cannot wait to watch.
I know what you're going to say.
The Eagles' offensive line versus Chicago's defensive line. Lane Johnson versus Khalil Mack. Last year, Lane Johnson took Mack out of that game on Christmas against the Raiders. I'm just concerned that if Mack is staying on Jason Peters' side, this is going to be an awesome test for JP. Maybe this might be his last game as an Eagle. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully they win the game and keep it going. But imagine if JP on the left side gives Khalil Mack problems. It's going to be fun to watch this battle.
JP has, I think, one weakness: speed.
Khalil Mack has insane
speed.
I think we saw it with Olivier Vernon on that Thursday night matchup with Jason Peters that
he has trouble with guys that can swim around the edge and to get
back up the pocket. And it's more because of the age and the injuries.
That's true. A younger JP, that's a different story.
Because what JP was well known for in the past was his mobility, his athleticism as a left tackle. I mean, you would see highlights of, I don't know why this is the play I'm thinking of, but in 2012 when Jeremy Maclin caught a screen pass against Atlanta week 2, and he's like 30 yards down the field and Jason Peters is leading the way blocking cornerbacks. I mean, that's what Jason Peters has been known for in his career. It's going to be a tough test.
He's still good blocking downfield. Yeah. Like, you saw some of the runs that Wendell Smallwood had last week and compared to the weeks before. It's going to be in pass protection that's going to be the main concern, because Chicago's bread and butter is the pass rush. That's how all of their defense gets
generated. It's not just Mack. Leonard Floyd, who we really liked coming out of Georgia a couple years ago, their interior defensive line is good. So that interior against our interior, which has been on a roll right now. Brandon Brooks, which, Lars, the streak is over.
I remember you were tweeting about this on Sunday. Brandon Brooks gave up his first sack.
First time since week 1 of 2016 against the Browns.
I kind of like how you were joking that.
I was so sad.
Do they have to move Brandon Brooks now?
I found
that very humorous.
But Jason Kelce at center right now is playing some of his best football. It seems like he gets better every single year. And Stephen Wisniewski, I mean, he comes in, he gets benched for he has had such a roller coaster career with the Eagles over the past 2 years, where he's supposed to be depth for Jason Kelce as a center, and then Isaac Seumalo, the guy they took in the third round in 2016 out of Oregon State, he's a guy that they were really happy with. They knew he could play center. They knew he could play guard. They move him as the starting left guard last year. He gets benched for Wiz. Wiz and the Eagles go on that great run. Wisniewski was a huge part of why that offensive line just dominated that playoff run. And then this year he gets benched again because he struggled. He was pretty bad early in the season. Isaac Seumalo comes back, plays pretty well, actually, at left guard. He actually was filling in a tackle at times. And then Seumalo gets hurt, and Wiz the past couple weeks looks like playoff Wiz from last year. So that Bears interior against the Eagles interior, it's going to be
the biggest part of the whole game.
I think so.
Obviously, as we all know, Nick Foles is a pocket passer compared to Carson Wentz. Foles is going to try to get the ball out quick, and another one of the big aspects of this game is going to be the screen game with Darren Sproles and getting Smallwood involved.
I'm going to eat crow on Darren Sproles. I've never doubted him as a player. I think he's been huge for the Eagles since 2014.
You just thought they were relying on him too much.
I just think sometimes when Sproles is out there, you know what he can do in open space, and you force the ball to him to a point where it gets really simple, where they're just, even if it's just a check down, Sproles is your final option. Like, I love designing Sproles on 3rd and 2, on 4th and 1, the wheel routes, getting him lined up with a linebacker
God,
in space.
Those have looked so
those
good.
Have looked incredible so far. It's really since that Dallas game, Wentz was hitting him on those, and then Foles the past couple weeks against Houston and against Washington. Him and Sproles have been clicking. Foles to Sproles, which rhymes, Lars. But I thought that when they didn't design plays for Sproles, they still were maybe forcing him the ball too much, and it was making the offense very simple. And it's kind of like the same thing with Zach Ertz. I don't doubt Zach Ertz's ability at all. He is going to go down as one of the best tight ends in the history of the NFL, which is crazy to think. But I think sometimes he can only offer a certain type of play consistently. And when you keep giving him those 8-yard passes, they're super efficient, and he's going to get open. You should get him the ball. But sometimes you have to get Alshon Jeffery that chance one-on-one, 20 yards down the field. With Sproles, it was kind of a similar thing where I feel like sometimes it simplified the offense, but what they've been using, the way they've used him the past couple weeks has been huge because he brings that speed factor right now that only really Nelson Agholor brings to the offense.
And they've been spreading the ball quite well the last few weeks.
I think it started with the Dallas game,
and then it has percolated forward.
I think it started before that. I think it started. See, people like to give Foles the credit to this, and I think a lot of it does go to Foles. I also think it goes to the health of the quarterback, because I think with Wentz healthy, he would have got the ball to the other guys. But Wentz under center was part of the start of this rejuvenation of the offensive line.
And that's why I'm referring to the Dallas game.
Yeah, and the play
call. Dallas game.
But like, I'm looking at even like 1 week before, you're 100% right. But the week before, Monday Night Football against Washington, that's really when the offensive line and Doug Peterson's play calling started to take over. Golden Tate had a bunch of receptions in that game. Nelson Agholor made some plays down the field. Zach Ertz, of course, got his. Darren Sproles scored a rushing touchdown. That was the first game where Peterson really started to look like the play caller of last year.
Now, I got to ask you. I've noticed they've been leaning a lot towards 12 personnel and getting Goddard and Ertz involved. This is a key question I want to ask you after all this is over when it comes to the playoffs. Are they going to continue with the 12 personnel? Do they even need a slot receiver anymore? Are they going to let go of Agholor and Tate?
I think Tate's gone next year. I don't want Agholor leaving this team. I think he provides too much with run after the catch, with down the field. I think he has grown tremendously down the field as a deep threat. Last year he started on the outside? I don't know. I'm not going to say to pick up his $9 million option. I want to give him an extension that maybe gets that number down on the books.
Maybe like 7.5.
You see the trend the NFL is going with offense. You don't just have 2 weapons now or 3 weapons. I want to have the ability to have Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz on the field at times with Nelson Agholor, but I also want times maybe they bring back DeSean Jackson. I want 11 personnel with Alshon Jeffery, a Nelson Agholor, and then maybe they bring in a guy like D-Jax, or they draft a deep threat down the field, or I don't know if it's going to be Mike Wallace that comes back or somebody.
But then that means you're going to have to put either Goddard, you're definitely not putting Ertz on the bench. You're going to put Goddard back on the bench.
I think, look, when they drafted Goddard, I think he's going to be a rotational guy, much like Zach Ertz was early on, until Brent Celek finally got older and Zach Ertz took over. I think it's going to be a similar role with Goddard until Ertz stops playing, and who knows how long that'll be. He's at the height of his powers right now. But I'm not I want Dallas Goedert on the field as much as possible.
All right, so let's say they pick up his option. They pick up his option.
Well, they already have.
To an
extension. I think they're going
to
try to extend him.
The ideal offense, I think, for the both of us and for Philadelphia would be you'd run 11 personnel up until you get about to, like, the 30-yard line, and then you start running 12 personnel, getting Goddard involved.
I mean, while Goddard's on a rookie deal, I just think you can use both. And there's times, too, when you're using 12 personnel, Aguilar's actually been the other receiver on the field. He's done damage in 12 personnel this year. It's been Alshon and Aguilar when Goddard comes on the field. Golden Tate's the one that comes off. So I don't even think using 12 personnel is going to affect Nelson Aguilar. I think it's going to affect the third guy they bring in, if it's a DeSean Jackson, if it's a rookie they draft, or if it's maybe they bring back Mike Wallace, or who knows what they do. Say they make a trade, you never know with Howie Roseman. I think that it's not going to impact Nelson Aguilar as much as maybe we think. He is better in the slot, but you can have both. I think in 11 personnel, you can have Nelson inside, and then in 12 personnel, there's times where you can have him on the outside, or there's times that maybe you want a D Jackson. I keep saying D Jackson. I'm really trying to make this thing come to life. I'm all in on this reunion again, Lars. But it's an interesting question. But I think I'm still all in on keeping Nelson Aguilar. I think he's way too valuable. The steps he's taken the past 2 years have been incredible. Let's take a quick break here in the Locked On Eagles podcast. When we come back, I'm sensing a theme and a trend in the NFL, especially with these playoffs, Lars. We're gonna get into that next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase and Lars Lewis joining us on this Wednesday edition of the show. We're already getting to it, Lars. A couple more days and the Eagles are playing in the wild card. Feels really good to say that. And with the Eagles in the playoffs, I started thinking about just, I was looking at all the teams, looking at the quarterbacks, looking at the head coaches, and I feel like this 2018-2019 NFL playoff picture pretty much represents what the change in the league has been this year. I counted it up based on the head coach and what their history is with offense and defense. 9 of the 12 head coaches this year in the playoffs are offensive minds. I think the only defensive guys are, when you look at it, Bill Belichick. Who else am I missing here? John Harbaugh. He was a special teams guy with the Eagles. So there's two of them. And then in the NFC, Pete Carroll is the other guy that I wouldn't say is one of the well-known offensive minds in football. And you look at the quarterbacks that are in this playoff picture, guys like Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Andrew Luck, Mitchell Trubisky, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff.
It's the youth movement.
Which is cool. It's fresh, new faces in the NFL in the playoffs this year, which is awesome. I feel like we're almost in the golden era of quarterbacks finally, where there is a legit future at quarterback, where there's 10 guys that you know can be stars. Not just, it's not like RG3 and busts like that you were thinking, these are going to be the faces of the league in 10 years. Right, we try to claim that there's those guys in every single draft, but I really think now we are seeing that. And this is the way the NFL is going, is they're going all in to find those guys. And what's helping these quarterbacks become legit starting NFL guys, franchise quarterbacks, is that teams are building their coaching staffs to maximize the position and to maximize aggressiveness and to maximize offense.
Yeah.
You saw the Eagles do it with Doug Peterson when they brought in Carson Wentz. They brought in Doug Peterson, a former quarterback. They brought in Frank Reich, a former quarterback. John DeFilippo, a guy that was well known for helping quarterbacks develop from young guys to star players. And he did that with Carson Wentz. It's why he got an offensive coordinator job in Minnesota. You're seeing the trend is that's what the NFL is going to now. There's a couple defensive teams, right? Like Baltimore's got a really good defense.
Baltimore's a very balanced team.
But how many teams?
John Harbaugh is probably as close to Belichick when it comes to philosophy.
But how many teams, though, are pretty much carried by their defense in this playoff picture? It's pretty much just Baltimore. I mean, how many really good defenses are in this playoffs? Baltimore, Chicago. And
I think Seattle's been very underrated as
a
defense.
But I think they're carried by Russell Wilson. And I think the L.A. Chargers, they have a very good defense. But again, without Phillip Rivers in that offense, that's what really runs them. You look at the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. Their defense was, what, 29th for the majority of the season? The Patriots are carried by Tom Brady. There's almost no talent on that defense anymore. Dude, there's no talent on that defense. We saw what happened in the Super Bowl last year. The Eagles put up 41 on that defense.
They always seem to have these little streaks where they play 5 or 6 weeks of really good defense.
Yeah, but again, though, it's just they're not one of the defensive powerhouses in football. In Dallas, I'll give Dallas credit. They're an underrated defense.
Yeah, when you got Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch and linebacker.
Yeah.
They have been such a difference maker for this defense this year compared to the years past.
But again,
Sean Lee was really the only good linebacker they had.
But again, the majority of this playoff picture, though, is
offense.
Young quarterbacks, big-time offense, and offensive coaches. And that's what we're getting with this Eagles-Bears matchup with Matt Nagy. I mean, you see the difference the Bears have made from last year to this year. And a lot of it is because Matt Nagy already is one of the best play callers in football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sean McVay last year, this is the way to do it. And it's teams like the Buffalo Bills with Sean McDermott, who is a former Andy Reid guy as well, the Carolina Panthers with Ron Rivera.
The Titans.
The Titans with, although Vrabel brought in Bill LaFleur from Sean McVay's coaching staff Matt LaFleur, excuse me. Thank you. He was an Oregon guy too, right, I think? But regardless, you're seeing teams want an offensive guy as their head coach because not only is it great for play calling, it's good to help develop offensive players, especially quarterback, which is what matters in football, but it also sets the philosophy of being aggressive, like Doug Peterson, going for it on fourth downs, whereas defensive guys, you look at Vance Joseph with the Denver Broncos, they're down 4 with only 2 minutes to go against Cleveland, and they're still kicking a field goal. I mean, that's the type of mindset that the NFL is going away from. And a lot of that, you're seeing the way teams are building. It's a domino effect type league, and you're seeing when one team does it, you're seeing a bunch of other teams do it because they saw the success the Philadelphia Eagles had. They saw the success that the LA Rams had, and now the Chicago Bears. You're going to see more teams do that in the future, and it's cool, though. Like, we get to see Lamar Jackson in the playoffs. Big for my brand, by the way. Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes. That 2017
Your ego's
class.
Getting pretty massive.
Yeah,
right
I
now.
Know. I feel pretty Sewell good about
Brand, them. Lamar Brand.
Yeah, my brands are on par right now. except for my Marcus Mariota Titans brand. They fell to the Colts. So that one didn't work out as well. I really wish Wentz was in this one because he's right in with that group.
It's weird. It's like Foles is the one outlier of all the other quarterbacks and all
well,
this.
Well, I mean, and there's the veteran stars still.
It's the difference. He's in between.
Right?
29 years old. He's not an old man like Brady,
Rivers, and Breeze. Yeah, right.
And he's not super young either, like Trubisky and Lamar. And he's right in the middle.
Yep.
He is entering the crossroads of his career.
I think it's awesome that Foles is the guy taking us on this journey again, on this magical run. But this mystical,
maniacal.
This mystical, just whatever. It's just this guy's a genie.
It doesn't make any sense.
He's a genie, but. I really do. You see all these young guys, and I wish Wentz was in this too, because we're talking about the faces of the league in the next 5 to 10 years. Guys like Watson and Lamar and Mahomes and Luck, Trubisky, Jared Goff. Wentz's other two guys in that 2016 class are playing in the playoffs. You got to feel for them. You really do, because you see these other teams doing the same thing the Eagles did, and they're having that success too. It would have been nice to see our young guy do
it's
better
like the
than
one
those
kid,
other guys.
It's like the white kid that's sick and misses field day, and he's looking outside of his window, and he's right by the park where everyone else is playing.
Right.
It's kind of like the SpongeBob meme where Squidward's in his house, and he sees SpongeBob and Patrick.
But it's – I think this is – Lars, this is the way football is going. The NFL is going. And I think it's nice, though. It's fresh, new faces, new storylines. Whereas, I mean, yeah, it could still be Patriots.
There's one storyline that hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Saturday wild card in Houston.
That's true. Houston.
That's every year.
Houston always gets the early Saturday game. But that one's going to be fun, though.
Oh, yeah.
Watson Luck.
We finally have a Houston game for the playoffs that has two really good quarterbacks.
I know, because before it was, what, Matt Schaub and T.J. Yates and
Alex Smith.
Brian Hoyer.
Massacred him.
Brian Hoyer played in one of those playoff games
for
Houston.
I'm telling you, we finally have a game in Houston that's worth watching in the playoffs. Super interesting. Oh, yeah.
Super interesting.
I got to ask you a question. Would you put Andrew Luck in the top 5 of your quarterback list?
In the NFL?
Yeah.
Is it in who we would build a team with, or just who is the best right now?
Right now, who is the best?
So
would
I
you
have
put him in the
Brady
top
and Breeze still, Mahomes. Man, Russell Wilson probably still. When Carson Wentz is healthy, I'm putting him ahead of Andrew Luck. But for now, I would say he's right there.
He's driving a really hard argument.
Yeah, I think he's right there. And our boy Frank Reich doing a great job there. I mean, he's another one of those offensive guys that they brought in. And look at the difference the Colts have made. I mean, they have a pretty good defense, but it was pretty bad for
what
the first half
when
of the
you
season.
Gregson.
Frank Reich comes in, and you see what... Look, this is what Andrew Luck did with Bruce Arians. His rookie year, Bruce Arians comes in, and the team honestly was better with Bruce Arians than it was with Chuck Pagano. And you see that with now Frank Reich coming in, what it's done for Andrew Luck in that offense. So this is the way the NFL is going. We see it. I mean, every guy that Andy Reid pretty much develops is coming out as a new head coach, and then Frank Reich's part of the Doug Peterson coaching tree now, which is pretty cool. So, and I still think my boy John DeFilippo is going to get a second chance somewhere.
I think it's kind of weird because I think that isn't Frank Reich older than Doug Peterson?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to label him.
Frank Reich played football.
Yeah,
in the 80s.
We shouldn't label him as a Doug Peterson coaching tree guy because he's been a part of a. He was a coordinator before Doug Peterson was a coordinator, actually, and then Doug gets the head coaching job and. Doug and he brings Frank Reich in as his OC. So I don't think we should technically count it as a Doug Peterson coaching tree, but it is, though. Doug Peterson's success as a head coach helped get Frank Reich a job.
I'd have figured since we're both actually natives of Western New York, both of us were saying that we were really surprised that Frank Reich didn't get the job in Buffalo. Because I think Frank Reich with Josh Allen would be amazing.
Let's take one more break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. I want to get Lars's predictions for the Eagles-Bears game this week. And then we got some great stuff coming up this week. So with Lauren Cox of Locked On Bears, tomorrow we're going to do the crossover edition of the Locked On Eagles, Locked On Bears podcast, get into some key matchups. We'll get into the nitty-gritty of the game. We got Tyler Stagey's stances on Friday with Gino Camilleri. Me and Lars are going to have a bonus podcast where we predict the NFL playoffs, so that'll be fun. I looked at my, on LockedOnEagles.com, Lars, I looked at my preseason predictions, and I have Saints-Patriots in the Super Bowl, but I had teams like the Panthers in and the Packers, and the Jaguars. So we're going to redo the predictions now. As the playoffs are set, we're going to... So that's a bonus podcast.
I kind of want to look back and to see my full tree as well. Because my Super Bowl was Pats and Saints.
So we got a packed schedule for Locked On Eagles this week on the network, so we're excited for it. And thank the Eagles for getting in the playoffs so we can actually continue this, and we're not talking about off-season topics quite yet. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back as we wrap up this Wednesday edition of Locked On Eagles, Louis DiBiase and Lars Lewis. So, Lars, the Eagles are a 6-point underdog against the Bears. Underdogs once again, year two. Do they continue the trend of shocking the NFL, shocking the world against the Bears at Soldier Field?
Can I give you an answer from my head or the one in my heart?
No, I need an analyst prediction here.
And they're both, yes.
So you think they do it again?
The Eagles win.
What's the score? Give me a score.
24-20.
All right. Lars Lewis picks the Eagles to win. I'm going to hold it to you, sir. Thanks for coming on the show, as always.
No problem.
This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Thanks for joining us. Once again, follow all our accounts at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase, LOE, at Gino_LOE, and hit Lars up at LarsLewis12. We got our written content up at LockedOnEagles.com as well as all our archive podcasts. So for Lars Lewis, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. And let's go, Birds.